Do it again. We're recording. Well, no, wait. All right, here, I'm going to cut my cigar.
We're back.
Ty, cut your cigar.
We are back.
We're in the backyard.
The cutter. How are my levels? We didn't check mine. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. It's perf.
Glad I'm an integral part of the program.
It's perfless. Hey, loudest show ever we're about to do here in my backyard.
Maybe the most noisy, not the loudest.
Hey, cut it. Care for you. Cut it, dude.
What?
You don't want to cut it way up there. That's like you're making two cigars that way.
Way up there. Okay. What the fuck are you talking
about? That one's a real small cigar.
All right, cool. Yeah, one's very small. One hit, one half hit. All right, so we're in my backyard.
Not a bad idea, though.
Making the
let's
the
get
poor
on that.
Listener
after disaster, tiny cigars.
Suffer through wind and wind chimes and planes overhead and
lawn.
And lawn cutting occurring. Because why? Oh. Sweet freedom.
Sweet freedom. American freedom. American
yes.
pride.
It's so funny, the Cuban cigars.
Home, sweet home.
Smoking illegal Cuban cigars makes
me
feel
like the most American thing you can do.
Free, but it's not. It's like the opposite. You know what I mean? Let's light these babies up.
Thank you for these.
Corano says that we're going to get fucked up.
I believe so.
I don't think so.
I've smoked Cuban cigars before, and I smoked one on the helicopter pad at your place of employment, and I was so wasted I couldn't get up.
Were you inhaling?
Spinning, and I drank no alcohol.
Were you inhaling?
I'm sure I was. It was my birthday. It was my birthday in like 1995, and it was the middle of the day.
Light up, Johnny.
And it was
we're
a
racing
Cuban,
to right?
Cuban cigar that Tom
Arnold.
No,
we're gonna race to see who finishes first.
No.
Yeah.
No, we're taking our time.
And then the last person is to jump in
the
pool.
A terrible thing to do with
your. That's even worse.
Cuban cigar smuggled in from Italy.
First show back from Italy. From
are these
Europe.
Legal yet? I mean, I know we have the whole like, weird embargo thing with Cuba.
I think for a long time you're allowed to buy a few at duty free, and like you know, as long as you don't bring too many back. I like to like lie and smuggle though. That's my
thing. Yeah.
It's weird though if you buy something at duty free, they're like, "Let me see your boarding pass." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not getting on a plane. I'm buying some goddamn booze."
Okay, I'm gonna be honest with you. I like that jacket. I'm sorry I made fun of it initially.
So I opened the door about 10 minutes ago, and Mike immediately says, "Welcome back," and then says, "Oh my God, you're wearing the exact same jacket that I was making fun of a guy for wearing just last night."
Which is a nice way to say hello.
So first show back since my European excursion, and Jillian, the wife, she listened to the Italian job that we did, the last show we did.
Yeah,
I can never figure out what makes that girl listen. Why would you listen to that one?
It was probably because you were talking to her on it and saying that we were saying to abuse her.
It's probably her the equivalent to her hiring a private eye to make sure you're not cheating on her.
She also knew that I went out with phone in hand, and she probably wanted to hear what that sounded like. So
she's an audiophile. She probably wanted to hear what the quality was like.
How did it sound? Could you pick
good.
Up anything, or was it squiggly sounding?
How did the like ambiance?
The Italian jobbers.
These are good. They're pretty mellow. I don't think these are going to get as high.
Oh, that's shocking.
It's normally the harsher ones. But thank you.
So no problem. So Jillian says she listens to the show, and then she says, "Were we on the same trip?" I'm like, "What do you mean, honey?" She's like, "Everything you mentioned about the trip was like negative, like just totally negative."
I thought about that. Like, if she listens, she might be like, "My interpretation is we're having a wonderful time," and you're like, "This is fucking hell."
Well, here's the bad news for poor Jills. I didn't even start the bitch yet.
Yeah. Hopefully she doesn't listen to this.
That's
one.
Right. You told us you're gonna air your real grievances.
Like all the notes of the crazy, stupid shit that happened weren't even touched upon on the last show. So we'll get to that. We'll get to some of that.
All right.
Well, the reason is also
I want to know how happy you are to be back.
It's good to be back.
Did you kiss the ground?
No, I did not kiss the ground, Tyler. I was not skydiving. But it does make you kind of appreciate where you're from a little bit more. It makes you appreciate things. But like I said, I think I was a little too old to really have it punch me in the face. Like, holy shit. Like, I've heard stories of people go and they see the Eiffel Tower. They're like, it's really there. It's like, no, I was expecting to see it. I was surprised.
Yeah, I don't look at the moon and go, I don't believe it's there until I put my foot on it.
Well, it's not really there. We never really actually went there, right?
No, NASA made up the moon.
No, they did?
Yeah.
It was a good one.
It's really the Death Star, right?
Good. It was a good one.
Old extinct Death Star.
Topical Star Wars conversation.
Yeah, well, it kind of is because Star Wars is coming out soon, right?
Or if you're from Boston, NASA.
Nasser. Hey, I have a real quick review, or not a suggestion of a movie for you never to see, Michael.
Okay.
Crimson Peak. Don't see
oh
it.
Oh my God, if we were going to go see that.
Do not. You can't take
because it's terrifying?
There's a lot of spook shit, but there's a lot of gore too. A lot of like heavy duty
That's
gore.
My favorite actress though.
You see Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah, I couldn't really get through it.
Yeah, well, no way you can do this one.
But it's a masterpiece, right? It's like really good.
Pan's Labyrinth?
No, Crimson Peak.
Oh, it's okay. It's a really good bad movie. It's really, really well made and really well acted for the most part.
Mia Wasikowska.
She's great. She's always great. And it looks great. Like the space and the house where it takes place, like the design of it is phenomenal. But it's just, I didn't give a shit about the story at all. I understand where, anyway, that's the film ball. We'll talk
was
about
it a Crimson Peak because of all the blood?
Because the place where the dude that she falls in love with owns this house with his sister on top of this mountain, and they mine for clay, red clay, and it's always bubbling up.
But then also there's blood.
Absurdity. No, there is some blood when people get stabbed in the cheeks and skull-crushing galore.
Stabbed in the cheeks?
Oh, yeah. There's some
skull-crushing.
Skull-crushing.
Galore. A word that normally doesn't go with skull-crushing.
Ever since Gaspar Noé.
I heard that breakup right there.
Did the irreversible. Skull crushing. Like other directors are like, okay, that's what we can do now. Mm-hmm. Cool, let's do it.
I wish you guys were with us for this one specific moment. A friend of mine created a cartoon called Rick and Morty. And Tara happens to be a huge fan of it, so I went to watch him.
I think I just got an email from a listener telling me that I have to watch this show.
It's okay, well,
Dan Harmon's.
Yeah, so I went to watch them get interviewed on stage, and it was Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland, but they spent probably 7 minutes talking about Werner Herzog coming in and doing one of the voices and how excited they were.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me want to
start
Dan a cartoon.
And Dan Harmon, by the way, is ridiculously funny. Like, improvisational stuff. Like
his
during
podcast,
the interview.
Is, Harmontown, is very funny.
You stop it. Everyone stop.
But here's the best thing he said. They were talking about Werner so much. Somebody goes, I don't want to say anything. And then Dan goes, what do you think he's here? Like, he's going to stand up and go, oh, it's me.
Oh, like he's the audience.
I fucked it off the impression, but just the it's me. Like he stood up and went, it's me. I just want to say. But he said Werner took everything seriously and it was just beautiful.
If Werner was there, he would have said, I have never heard of Harmon.
Well, he like
what
you know that
town.
That cartoon is like very testicle.
Well, they
heavy.
Asked him to be on The Simpsons years ago, and he's like, "Send me a copy of an episode I've never seen the show." What is this Simpsons?
Well,
you speak
Harmon was saying that like
it's true story.
Werner's in the booth, and he's like, "I just need to know, is he in awe of the testicles, or is he taken aback by the testicles?" And like everything was about these giant balls, and Werner's just like. Let me try again. This time he's really in awe of the testicles.
Is this just storytelling or did you actually see some outtakes? I would like to see outtakes.
Storytelling.
Well, they better have been rolling some vid on that. And just for the record, that is not my gardener blowing the...
your gardener's quiet.
He's actually the next door neighbor's gardener. Who blows.
Rake.
He blows all the stuff onto my house. So that's why you can
fucking asshole.
Oh.
Do you think...
Guys, this I'm on like 2 hours sleep again. I'm like Mike Carano now. I just wake up. I went to sleep 4:30 last night, and I wake up at 8, and I just can't get back to sleep.
You want to hear even worse now.
Jet lag, man.
Jet lag's brutal. But now I'm getting up at 7.
Oh, why? Stop it, old man.
I think it's the time change.
Take some medication.
I think it's the time change.
Well, that would make sense, right?
Because I was getting up at 8:15 every single day, between 8 and 8:15, and now it's like 7:05, and I'm wide awake. I'm like, I'm up.
Yeah, the clock went back exactly one hour, so that the math works out there.
I see.
Right? Yeah. Hey, so I was having a little bit of existential crisis when I got back.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was from lack of sleep, and my medication got a little bit thrown off because I took a ton on the plane to sleep, and then I wasn't you. And I think that I am a little bit dependent on my Remeron there.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't bring it with you?
No, I took it with me, but I took it a bunch because we're 9 hours ahead in Europe. So like, I took a bunch when we got on the plane, and then slept, and then got home, and it was 10 o'clock, and I'm like 10 o'clock at night, and I'm like, I'm not gonna take more.
You just ignore your wife the whole time?
Yeah. I slept. All right, let's start from the backwards of the traveling.
Okay. Ooh, so, it's going to be like a Guy Ritchie movie.
This is awesome. No, it's going to be more like a Memento.
Oh, whatever.
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, so anyways, what I was about to say is existential crisis, and it's embarrassing to admit, but what I've learned helps with that is I throw in some After Disaster.
Yeah, but I think it helps everything.
Makes me feel a whole lot better, and I was listening to the episode where we're eating those Jelly Bellies, and I got to tell you, it was good. It was very good stuff.
The disgusting flavor ones?
Yeah, the vomit, the dog food.
Marina gave us those, or who gave us those? Somebody, a listener.
Oh, no. Don't. Why would you do that? Now I can't remember.
Now I'm fucked.
Why would you pull back the curtain?
I just gave her the credit, and I don't know if it was her.
It was a listener, and she was a girl, and she wanted to do it to bring us together because Tyler was on this side of the glass. And I can't remember her name, but thank you. Anyways, point
was
is.
Was it Lourdes?
Nope.
Who doesn't listen to us anymore?
She did. Lourdes did contribute quite a few things on that program.
Yes, she did.
Anyways.
Gave me a coffee maker.
So I'm trying. So the flight out of Paris back to LA, right? It's 11 and a half hours. And you strap in and you realize you're fucked. And I bought them long ago, so I got bulkhead at least, so we're up at the front, so we had no one in front of us mm-hmm. putting their seat back.
Mm-hmm.
No more leg room, but at least you don't have to stare at the back of someone's head.
Yeah. Or, but you get that weird little TV mounted in the wall, which is
kind of
shitty.
But it's cool now because they show you where the plane is, like on the map, and you can kind of like keep track. But it's like 7:15 at night, so around 10:30 rolls around. You know, we're 3 hours in almost, and I'm trying to sleep. A lot of people are trying to sleep. It's all dark, and it's weird on those long flights. Like, they just open up sections of the plane where you can just get up and it's like self-serve.
Yeah.
They'll have a bunch of sandwiches. And Air France, by the way, they almost force booze on you. Like, if Carano flew Air France, I think that he would have to relapse. Like, they were forcing
you were required.
They begin by giving you champagne.
Yeah, nice.
And I was like, I'm grabbing for my wallet. And they're like, no,
any international flight, you get free booze.
And
which is
like,
weird.
They were giving everyone cognac to put them to sleep.
Awesome.
Very bizarre.
I know. It was on my like 30-minute flight from Florence to Munich, 45 minutes, whatever. I had like three beers because they're just like, "Would you like another beer?" Like, yes.
I didn't get that on EasyJet. EasyJet didn't give me shit. So I'm almost asleep, and then I wake up to some very loud talking, which didn't really make sense, even though most of the people on the plane were French. Maybe that's why they were all ignoring this man who was sitting behind me. But he had long hair. He's probably like early 30s. And he's like, here's the conversation that I heard that woke me up. So we're on the beach and no one's naked except for this one chick. And she's got her tits out, right? And her ass is all like flapping in the wind. And I think she was planted there because she was the only fucking bitch with tits out.
Ugh.
And Jillian and I just look at each other and we're like, is this really happening? What is this?
This is your flight to Paris?
No, back. So remember, I'm going backwards with mementos.
Yeah.
So,
but are you flying backwards?
No, we're flying forward to LA.
Just want to make sure.
It's like a roller coaster. It's like the mummy.
Sweet.
You go through it frontwards, and the plane just goes backwards all the way.
You're going to the exact same plane. So I start to turn.
It makes sense.
I'm 1/8 of the way into the turn.
No, it doesn't.
What doesn't?
It doesn't make sense at all. I just thought it made more sense to fly backwards after you flew forward. It makes no sense. Yeah.
It makes zero sense, Mike.
Well, don't you walk in a circle and then you walk the opposite way to even things up?
No, I don't have crippling OCD.
Is that what that is? Seriously?
Yes, it absolutely is.
Because like if I take a right turn, I try to make a left turn to balance my
body.
When
you're driving too?
No.
Is that why you're always late?
You know what? I do it when I'm driving. I do. Not always.
Realization
not 100%, but I do. If I make a bunch of rights,
you'd be the worst UPS driver ever.
I will go through a residential neighborhood so I can make some lefts.
Yeah. Okay, OCD, man.
UPS always turns right? They always, mm-hmm. they never
as much
turn
as
left.
They can.
Mm-hmm.
That would be funny if they put like a club on the wheel so they couldn't turn left.
What if like they were hurting it and DLP, DPL? Or FedEx was like beating their ass and then their new campaign was now turning left.
Now turning left. We go straight, backwards, left, sort of left.
So, I'm like 1/8 of the way into my turn to not confront this guy, but kind of like at least give him a look like, hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
If you're going to talk about the girl with the tits out.
Don't
more
like
details.
The combo.
Show some pictures.
More details.
Don't like the combo. B.
I don't like her butt flapping in the wind either.
Super loud. It was a weird comment.
It was weird.
I'm 1/8 of the way and Jillian secures my shoulder and it kind of forces, and she stops the turn. And she goes, do not. I'm like,
that's Blake Shelton.
She's like, it could have been. It was kind of like that kind of guy. So Jillian didn't
allow
me. A
great country artist?
Oh, wait. I was thinking Blake Shelton was Amy Winehouse's boyfriend from the Libertines. I know nothing about music.
Blake Shelton is Gwen Stefani's new boyfriend.
Good thing you don't work in radio.
Mm-hmm. I don't work in music radio, Ty.
Mm.
So.
One would argue that you do.
No. So.
Yeah, one would argue that.
I work. I produce talk.
K-Rock, the great talk radio station.
There are talk shows on there, and it's the one that I work on.
Rocking your drive with all the hot talk you can take.
We're
talk
and roll. Here we go. That's not a bad name for a really cheesy station.
Name.
You're right. Sorry.
So it sucks when I'm with Jillian because I have to be like,
God, is she going to hear that now?
Well, no, it sucks in these situations because
that.
I can't like live my life the way I would like to live it, which is hey,
give it your full confrontational self,
letting that guy know that he's upsetting me and I'm probably countless French people around him.
Or you could join in the conversation.
In his defense, all the French people are probably disgruntled anyways.
Yeah,
he was in a band. I learned that.
Mm.
He was talking about how his band plays this and plays that.
What band?
I don't know.
To strangers, he was telling them that?
I couldn't hear the guy he was talking to, which was directly behind me. He was talking to, but I didn't hear the guy he was talking to. Anyways, the point of the story is 3 hours goes by. I'm woken up again by his conversation.
Yeah, this time it's about.
And I see Jillian, and Jillian looks like a Muslim woman. She's wearing this jacket that you made fun of, which is a big black peacoat. And she has it over her head, so it's draped over her body. So she looks like a cadaver sitting upright.
Yeah.
Hot.
So I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
I can get in at least a look, or maybe, you know.
Little peeksies?
Yeah, so I do the full turn. Now I'm staring right at the guy. And the guy's in mid-sentence. He's talking about something. He's demeaning women again and saying something horrible. And I'm like, hey, man, you think you could keep it down just a little? Like, I hold my finger up like it's about an inch. I'm like, just a little. Keep it down a little. I was cool about it, right? And it was the strangest fucking thing. The guy was, like, smiling as he was talking about some chick's tits or something. And then his smile, as soon as I, like, made eye contact, his smile melted away. And he took his headphones, and while locked on my eyes, he just stared at me. His smile went away, and he put his headphones on very, very slowly. Like, he was terrified, like a little boy being chastised or something.
He just stopped.
That's the best response he could have asked for.
And he
just
stopped mid-sentence to the person he was bothering?
Yeah.
Because you want to know what could have been worse? Fuck you, buddy.
I don't know if anyone would do that on a plane.
You know what I don't like about people
left,
in
right?
bands or whatever they do for a living talking about what they do on a plane? I don't like that. I don't like any of that. And let me tell you what.
Don't talk about what you do on a plane, guys.
Because you're just trying to show off. But here's what really bummed me out. You know what a big fan of Cheap Trick I am. I think they're one of the greatest pop bands in history. So a friend of mine knew that I was a big Cheap Trick fan, and he goes, guess who I was on the plane with all the way back from Australia? Robin Zander. And I was like, that's amazing. And he goes, you know what Robin Zander talked about the whole time? Robin Zander.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, that's kind of a bummer. He goes, nonstop Cheap Trick talk. And I was like, shouldn't that have he have wrapped that up like 35 years ago?
When you hear people like on shows being interviewed and they're just talking about themselves.
Someone just jumped up and looked over at us right there.
That's cool.
Scared the fuck out of me. Scared the fuck out of me.
It's a neighbor, and I just talked about his gardener. His gardener?
He just jumped up and looked over the wall.
Well, let's not be racist then. How about that?
I didn't say anything racist.
Well, I know, but not yet.
Scared the fuck out of me.
Just be careful. Oh, speaking of racist.
I don't think you guys are. A head just appeared over the wall.
Cool.
And it scared the fuck out of me. And you guys seem to think it's totally normal.
He heard people talking. It's like a 5-foot wall. He just peered. Quick peer. You should have put your headphones on really
quick
slow.
Little crimson
peak. Horrifying what just happened. That was terrible.
Oh, horrifying.
Worse than
ice.
Halloween. Anything that's ever happened in a scary movie, that was worse.
Forget skull crushing.
Oh, good.
Anyways.
So, yeah, so when you hear people talking.
What did he look like?
On interview. He had, like, long hair, and he looked like early 30s white dude. Not like he looked like he'd be the bassist of the band. but whenever you hear people talking, like,
I can write songs too.
I work on a ton of shows where people are interviewed and whatnot, and you see people like talking about themselves, and it's like, how many times a day do you do this? The same fucking stories, talking about, like, that one bitch. Oh, I'm not gonna name names, but she makes millionaires happy when they find each other.
I hate that woman.
She loves to talk about herself.
Fucking hate that woman.
Tells the same fucking stories
a C word.
You know who else? Porn star named Nina Hartley. Wait, why did they name names?
That was a name.
She just talks and talks and talks about herself.
Great. We're going to lose the old wrinkly porn star contingent listeners. You know, you want to know something?
Sure do want to know something. You came to the right place for people wanting to know something.
What up?
People love talking about themselves, and I've been guilty of it on occasion.
No way.
Was that a bug?
It was a bee, and it might still be
there. Is it still there?
Where is it? He's gone. He flew.
It wasn't even a bee.
He wasn't in your
hair. I appeared to have lost my cool, but I was in total control right there. I was at the Madonna Inn last week, and...
Wait, what were you talking about?
Himself.
I was at the Madonna Inn. I was walking through the restaurant, and some guy was looking at me, and he went, "Is your name Mike Carano?" I went, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh." And we started talking, and I talked
that
about
that was so subtle.
I talked about me.
What the fuck?
I talked about me for 20-25 minutes, and I didn't realize how gross it was until I left. He goes, "Oh, we're just here celebrating our anniversary." And I didn't even go, "Congratulations." I just went right about to, "Yeah, I come here a lot." And I just talk. And then he had to go, "We really got to go. We're late for dinner."
Shut up.
I swear to God. And then I almost said, I said, "Where are you having dinner?" And he goes, "In the restaurant." And I went, "You know what? You should come eat at the bar."
It's their anniversary.
I was trying to mooch in on their dinner, and I didn't want to eat the expensive restaurant food.
Were they ADers or
I don't know
miscellaneous worlders?
I don't
he doesn't
know
anything about these people.
He was wearing a social distortion jacket. Mm-hmm. How many times am I going to drop ashes on me?
Seven. That's what the ashtray is for, and the ashtray is bone dry.
All right, continue taking me backwards through your trip.
Bone fucking dry.
So I want to hear all your complaints.
You got 14 hours left on the plane in front of this guy, in front of the guy from I was trying to think of a hacky band from the 80s or 90s.
That's pretty much it. That's all I got for that. However, when we did finally get out of customs and back in LAX and we're in international, Tom Bradley International out front of the terminal there, we saw a guy who was on our flight, a hefty man, being escorted by five cops. He was handcuffed, and they had his bags, like some of his bags, like in evidence bags. And they put him in the back of the squad car and drove away.
What do you think it was? Weed? I don't know.
Did you have to do the weird like photo thing?
Yes.
Okay, so we did.
I made the angriest face. Yeah. What they do when you come back through customs now is they take it's stupid.
Did you get a copy of it?
It's a robot. I thought so. I was excited. Yeah, I think I might have. Do they keep it?
I don't remember. I took a photo of mine and Lauren's. It's on my phone.
I'm gonna have to go look.
And Lauren like told the guy, she's like, I look terrible. And he looked at the photo and was like, Jesus.
So what you do is you wait in this horrible line, and then you go up to like an ATM with a big like flash bulb on it, and you got to scan your passport, and then it tells you to look, and they take a picture of you through the ATM thing, and then you go on another line, and you talk to a customs guy.
It doesn't really make customs any faster.
It doesn't. It makes it slower.
You still have to go talk to someone.
And it's killing trees and ink.
Because it takes the photo like when you're not ready. You like stand in front of it and like
I was ready.
It counts down from three. All
right, that's it.
But, like,
I gotta go find
it.
Mine.
Takes the photo.
You know
like,
who else does this
at the one instead of the zero? So your eyes are like half open.
Do you guys shop at Costco?
No.
Here's the new thing now.
They have
a rover. When the line's really long, they have a rover that has a handheld scanner, and he goes by and asks for your card, and he scans your item. I swear to God, I'm not mistaken. It's happened to me twice. This is gonna sound like I left out of detail. Okay. I swear to God.
Okay.
He scans my card. He hits the barcode on my two cases of water.
Yep.
And then goes to the person behind me. 5 minutes later, I get to the front of the line. The woman goes, I need your card. And I go, he already scanned it. She goes, that doesn't matter. I still need it. And then she rescans the water. And I went, what was that for? She went, I don't know. Twice. He does the whole process, and it speeds nothing up.
Did you get charged twice?
It does zero. Nothing.
That's so odd. Because you would assume that then you could come to the checkout and
she'd be ready.
Just pay.
Yeah.
Like at In-N-Out when the guy is like halfway down the street in traffic taking your order.
I got to say that In-N-Out one, I think it's more to pacify you, and I think it works. Because once they have your money, there's no way you're going, fuck this.
But you don't pay them until the end. They just take your order.
Ah, good point. Good point.
But I think you're like, they're making our fries.
Yeah.
As opposed to getting up there and ordering and then...
Yeah. They won't even put a burger on the grill till it's done, till it's ordered.
I know.
Do you know, though, if you order animal style fries, they move you figuratively to the front of the line?
Yes. However, if you order extra toasted bun, you get your burger way later.
Yes. Yes. But.
Sorry, guys.
If you're starving and you don't want to wait, just order animal style fries the walk up and you get them before everybody else.
Guys, we're not doing In-N-Out talk, are we?
We sure are.
Why?
Because that's
what the people want.
That's what a podcast is all about.
It's trending.
Yeah.
That was hot? Okay. All right, sure.
Next week we'll review McDonald's secret menu. Fecal matter.
So, I don't know why that guy was getting arrested for, but it was pretty sweet.
I bet it was drugs.
I bet not.
He probably like brought like a chicken into the country or something.
Yeah, probably a chicken.
Or a durian.
All right.
I'm talking drugs. Like he probably tried to smoke some weed in the bathroom or something.
They had like his luggage and evidence bags. I think he was just I think he checked something illegal through
like a lizard,
hoping that like they want to find it, and then they scanned his bag. I think they scanned everyone's bag when they check it.
Do you got a receipt for this accordion?
Did I tell you when I was in the bathroom in the Munich airport, like the things you can purchase in the bathroom? Did I tell you this?
No.
You know, like the little thing where you put in 50 cents and you can get like Advil.
Nazi helmet.
And like sometimes the place, there'll be a condom too, which is a weird thing they're offering
at
the airport.
Did you see my Instagram from the Italy airport? No. It was a dispensing. I went to at least two
Instagram.
Bathrooms, maybe three bathrooms in the Italian Marco Polo airport.
Mm-hmm.
And they had
Fumicino?
condoms. Condom, those like what you're talking about. Yeah. But 5 pounds or 5 euros or 10 euros. What the fuck? Took a picture. I'm like, why in the world in the airport? And I was in a bunch of bathrooms in Italy.
This is worse. There was like Advil, condoms, and then there was
ecstasy.
Morning after pill.
Weird, like fake pussy thing.
Oh yeah, sweet.
No.
Swear to God. Mm-hmm.
Like a masturbatory aid?
It has like a topless chick on it, and it was like some sweet German word for, then I Googled it, and it's like a translation for like
fake pocket pussy or something like that.
Airport?
Yeah.
How much was it?
Let's see, I got 2 for $5. No.
You should have bought them and given them to people and said, I picked this up at the airport.
I Googled them, and they're basically just like, they're like a slippery condom.
Did you find a bunch of like dispensed ones in the bathroom on the
no,
plane?
No, the bathrooms were so clean there. And in the bathroom, when you're done, you like say like, is the bathroom clean? And you say like, yes. And if you click no, then a person will come and make sure the bathroom's clean.
Really? Yeah. Quickly?
But then it's gross because you have to touch that screen.
I make my own pocket pussies out of like a Ziploc bag.
It's nice.
So Jillian and I are having lunch. What do they call them in a Fifi? They call them Fifis in prison.
Lunch?
No, the pocket peas.
Hey, come over and have a Fifi.
I hate that word, pocket pussy. I can't believe I use it like 40 times a day.
Pocket pee. It's just called a pocket.
You use it 40 times a day?
You guys don't say pocket pussy a lot during the day.
So Jillian and I are in. Oh wait, no, I'm going backwards. All right, so
gotta have a big pocket.
For those of you, some people might understand this. I still do not. But we took like 3 trains when we were over there.
AIDS.
Right? And the trains will stop, and you have like 5, sometimes 10 minutes to like, you know, get on the train and sort
masturbate
things out
in the bathroom.
Sometimes they're there for like a full 30 minutes.
Get another pocket pussy.
So we're on like the third and last final train we had to be on was the one that we were both dreading because it was an overnight train, a sleeper train.
Yeah. Why did you dread that?
That's where you get murdered. Fun.
From
it's like
Prague.
Hitchcock.
That's where you disappear.
No, you're going to hate
and
it.
And no one remembers seeing you.
I thought about you a lot on the sleeper train. So it's very tough because Prague's Eastern Europe and they're not part of the European
Union. Real quick.
Yep.
Every time this goes off and you point your microphone from 10 feet away, I'm sure my microphone is picking up more than yours is.
That's the joke.
Oh.
It's a real funny joke.
It's a good one. Tyler points his microphone at the wind chimes that are located directly next to me.
That one's silent because I pulled down the little stopper. Anyways, so it was to the point where, like, the first few trains that we were on, like, because I went over there as a married man with Jillian, as you all know.
If you I went over there as a married man. How'd you come home?
Came back as a swinging single.
If I went over there, like, with a friend or by myself back when I'm sure I would have tried to probably bang my way across
Europe.
You would
have ran some trains on the train?
But instead, I just ate and drank and smoked my way across Europe with the wife.
As you should.
Lots of smoking. So it was to the point where, like, on the train, when we were taking it from Gay Paris to Switzerland, like, we'd be able to get off on stops and, like, have a quick smoke.
Yeah.
Right? And then hop back on. It was sweet. So the last train that we're taking, it's from Prague to Venice.
Were these high-speed trains or were these
it
like
also seems
slow?
Like
10 and a half hours from Prague to Venice. So
what?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
10 and a half hours. And
you know, it could be worse if you guys are in India on one of those trains with like 700 people jammed
wait,
in there hanging off the sides on the roof. Oh.
Darjeeling. Dude, wait. It's not like that.
I'm
but
waiting.
Wait. So the train comes. We're waiting for it in Vienna. No, it's from, I'm sorry. It's not from Prague. It's from Vienna because we had a stop. Anyway, not important. We're in Vienna. We were in Vienna for like full 5 hours.
Vienna, home of sausages.
I was going to say that too, and I thought it was too stupid.
It was very stupid.
And Mozart. And
Mozart.
Mozart's from Vienna. And
I believe it's Mozart.
Where the train shows up, and it's all very confusing. I can't believe that I made every single connector, because nothing's in English. People aren't really super friendly.
Did you have your own room?
Listen. So the plane, the dream pops, comes to the station.
The dream pops.
And everyone starts running, like these backpackers. They start like running towards the train. And I don't know which cars ours is. Like I can't even read the numbers. I can't find the numbers because they weren't well marked. And people start running like panicking. The train's not stopped for 60 seconds before we scramble. We get all our bags on. Somehow we made it on the train just before it starts going again. It was the quickest stop I've ever seen. And
why
it was
were
the
people running? Because it was fast or because it was first
they
come,
knew,
first served?
Somehow, no, not first come, first serve. Everything is like pre-ordered and reserved. So
I
got to
say, I sort of respect that being on time.
Is this Eurotrain?
OBB, I think.
Hmm.
So.
You down with OBB?
OBGYN?
So we hop on like car, let's say 72 or something.
Okay.
I know now I'm looking at
that's a big train.
The ticket. And I'm looking, and I know that we're bed 93 and 95, right? And we're walking down these little skinny corridors with our all of our luggage, which it's a 2.5 week trip. So we each have like two big bags. And we finally see, and we're trying to get by people. It's essentially a one-way street, so people would see us way down at the end of the car coming, and they'd have to like go in a corridor or vice versa because there's no way we could pass each other. Yeah. And we finally see someone that works on the train. I'm like, hey, can you tell me where this one is? She goes, oh, that's 7 car lengths that way. Good luck. She says, good luck. So we keep going and going and going. It's taken us maybe a half hour because it's just the luggage is so unwieldy and there's
people
coming.
Are you walking with the train's direction or against the train's direction?
Good question.
Did you
funny if you're going the other way because you're kind of actually like
a little bit, yeah.
I'm the same.
When you talked last week about your luggage and how cumbersome it was, it just made me think about how many times I've heard people say they backpacked across Europe, and I'm like, how
would
you do
that?
That
wouldn't be as bad, though, because you keep washing like every 3 or 4 days. So yeah. You have like four days worth. Yeah. I want to get to the point where I just like go over there with nothing, and I just buy everything and just leave it
in the
hotel.
Trash. Yeah, give it to a homeless guy.
Yeah, just say it.
You know what I did?
To be in the shop.
I'm sorry to interrupt your story.
No, go ahead.
I had a big pile of clothes, including all those jackets I bought like 4 years ago to give to homeless people that I've never given to homeless people.
Right.
In the back of my car, taking up my entire back seat, and I've been wanting to stop at a Goodwill or something, and finally I just gave up the other night, and I just pulled over at a spot where a homeless guy sleeps, and I left a huge pile there, and I drove by it Sunday. I did this on like Thursday or Friday, and it's all still there. The whole pile of my clothes.
I saw
my shoes, the shoes I've recognized putting on for 2 years, and I was like depressed. I was like,
little piece of Mike on the side of the road. Yeah, a lot of homeless people, you know, most of them are mentally ill.
I saw the
Ill.
Corner of that cold cockle shirt, and I was like,
very
of course I'm
very some homeless people are just homeless because they're not that bright, too. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, dude, it's freezing out. There's a pile of clothes right there.
Where do I live? Right here. Okay.
So, it's about a half hour.
Yeah, this is some wind. Holy shit balls. God damn it, it messed up my hair.
It's genuine California wind.
Get to our car, and I'm like, thank God, because we're tired too, and we're still a little bit like.
And there was like a French family in there.
Panicky about how we almost missed that train. I don't know what we would have been stuck in Vienna, and our stupid boat was leaving. Stupid boat. Our cruise was leaving the next day. I know it's white people problems, and I feel like guilty talking. Yeah. That's another reason why I'm only bitching about the trip because we're not a travelogue, and I don't want to be talking about it was beautiful and.
It's interesting though.
Santorini.
No, this is what we this is what we do.
Yeah, I know. So sorry, Jills, if you're listening. But so we get, and Jillian is very concerned about this sleeper train.
I also got to point out, no matter what you do in life, it's always fun to put a negative slant on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
So I'm looking for 93.95, bed 93.95. Now, I should tell you this. I knew what was coming. I had a good idea what was coming because when I originally booked this thing 2 months ago, it was the hardest thing to book. And
you booked through fucktrain.com.
They kept rejecting my American
Welcome
credit card.
Welcome to fucktrain.
So I had to go through AAA, and I had to get him to book it. And originally we had one of the sleeper cars that had two beds in it, and that's it.
Yeah.
And he gets back to me. He's like, bad news. None of those are available. I got you in a 6-bed car. And
oh, God, please don't tell me this is going where I think it's going.
I have you on the top and Jillian in the middle. So there's like bunk beds, 3 on each side.
Okay.
And I'm like, why would you do that? I want to be able to look across at my wife. She's going to be staring across at some stranger. And he goes, I didn't think about that. Sorry. So
whoa,
I knew.
You have to share a car with other people?
I knew as we were getting closer and closer. It's 7 car lengths
And she
down.
Didn't know.
She knew. I kind of prepped her, but we didn't talk at length about it. And I kept saying, hey, it might be empty.
Did you go like, by the way, we're not.
If this was a movie, you guys climb into your bunks. And you look across at the person across from her, and it's like the best looking guy you've ever seen.
Oh, she did get a massage in Prague, though, by some dude
Ooh.
Alone. Yeah.
What?
At our hotel. She's like, I want a massage. I'm like, all right, go ahead. I'm going to go into town and get
Why
drunk.
Didn't you just give it to her?
I don't know, but then.
He's on vacation.
She like texts me. She's like, I'm done. I'm like, was it a good massage? She's like, yeah, he was really good. I'm like, what the?
He?
Yeah. She was fully nude in a room with a dude who was touching her all
nude?
Over. Yeah.
Face up.
So. We get to our car. We're seeing one
I've
car
seen
after
those
the
horns.
Other.
I know what happens.
And they're all packed. I should also mention that every single flight we're on, every boat we're on, every thing that we had booked was capacity. And we went in the off season. There are too many fucking people on this planet.
I agree.
Everything was capacity. Every flight, every train, everything was capacity. All right. So I'm seeing some of the cars, Mike, the cheaper ones.
You find out everyone got a free trip.
They're just like little this was not a normal train where like everyone's just, you know, sitting in rows and looking forward. They're all little individual like mini compartments, yeah. like mini cells.
Like a kennel.
And the kennels. And the really bad ones were just chairs facing each other, and there was nowhere to lay down. It was an overnight train.
Could you guys just cram into one?
It was capacity.
No, I mean, could you and Jillian just cram into one bed?
Oh, no. It's like it's you know, twins? Like the bed-sized twin? It's about the half size of that.
Okay.
It's a one. So we get to our car, and all the lights are on. I was a little bit afraid of like having to like try and get in there, and you know, it's dark.
Everyone's sleeping.
Oh no, there was a card game going on.
Nice.
There's four Asian people.
Yes.
And they all are looking dismayed to see us show up because it's already cramped in there.
Yeah.
And they thought they were going to get a little, like just the four of them.
And a French woman who had nothing to do with them.
I would have thought that too.
And she was sleeping up top, but she had her stuff up top.
Wait, that's too many people.
No, that's five. Oh, and so there's three Asians. And her, and then the two of us.
Okay.
Okay.
Three Asians. Okay. Two right girls, there. A dude, and this French woman who was like in her 60s probably, and she was up top. And I immediately start saying, hey, sorry guys, I know this sucks, but here we are. And I see the French woman. I immediately start lobbying for her bed because I want to be on the top and I want to have Jillian on the other side. I don't want her.
Trying to take the elderly French woman's bed?
She's on the very top. She doesn't want to be up there. She shouldn't be up there. So I'm like, may I
listen,
please
Bridget
switch?
Bardot.
She doesn't like have everything. It's not like all set up or anything yet. So she goes, yes, okay. So right after she says okay, she starts putting all of her stuff on the top bed. So I don't know if she's being passive aggressive or she's completely misunderstood. So now we're trying to get our bags.
Like, this man's making me take the top bunk
into this tiny little closet
she's
that already
telling
has
the story right now on her podcast.
Four people in there, and the French woman sees our bags and she goes, "You have so much luggage. Why do you have so much luggage?" I'm like, "Cause we're traveling."
She's a Colombian.
You had too much luggage. So I see the fucking train operator guy.
Hey, homes, you got too much luggage.
And I'm like, is there like a car where the luggage goes? He goes, no, it has to go in. He has an accent too, but I'm not going to try it now with you fucks. He goes, no, it has to go in with you.
Well, like we were discounting your masterful language.
Voulez-vous?
Yeah. You fucks. Internationally renowned voiceover artist.
That's
Anderson
me.
Cowan.
Yeah.
And we are the only two non-believers.
So she's just sitting there on a bed.
Your French woman was like a Mexican man.
The bed that I just asked if I could have, that she said, yes, we can switch. Yeah. She's sitting on it, staring down at us, just saying too much luggage. And we're just sitting there because there's literally no place to put our bags.
Should have just made it into a game. You have too little luggage. Too much luggage. Too little luggage.
We were just sitting there. We didn't know what to do. So I see the guy that like he's runs our car or whatever. And you know, he's wearing the little monkey suit. And I'm like, hey, dude, what do we do? I'm like, this is like my worst nightmare. And Jillian is
next to
not having it at all.
Prison.
So we start to force our bags in there, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking we're going to have to sleep in the hall because our bags are going to take our beds. And God bless him, the dude that runs our train, he goes, hold on 1 minute. Wait 1 second.
1 minute.
And he looks at his papers. He goes, come with me. I'm like, thank God. Thank God. The guy's got a solution.
Thank God.
Put you in the coal room.
So I'm like, see you guys.
I was just going to say, Titanic, you're on the bottom level where the dancing's happening. The good times are happening.
See y'all. And then the Asian dude, he was really cool. He's like, good luck, man. Good luck.
American?
Yeah, totally American. I had no idea, though, because everyone was just kind of silent staring at us, standing there for a good 10 minutes. It was so awkward and weird. So we're following the train conductor dude down to this lovely, beautiful, open, like 2x4 room with what appear to be four beds. And he says, there is a family coming. They're coming in like 2 hours, but you guys can get your luggage in here and set up and everything and just, you know. So I'm like, thank God. This
but
is
wait,
great.
But what happens when the family comes?
They just come in. And then they set up their stuff. There's a family of four. And there's six beds.
Oh,
there's only four beds. And I said, where are they going to sleep? And he goes, oh, those fold off the wall. And then so I saw that all the two little mini beds come up. So we get our luggage in, and Jillian's just talking about how horrible it is, but we're kind of laughing about it, and we set up in the middle. He tells us we have to be in the middle, which is weird.
Separating the family.
Yeah. So we're like the sandwich. We're
finally,
the meat.
You can sleep
maybe
on top
a family,
of the kids.
It's a family that fights a lot. They need to be separated.
Wait a minute. Hold on. So I actually fall asleep. Jillian claims to have never fallen asleep the entire night. I am awoken, though, by, you could tell it was a petite child with a very wet cough.
Hello, sir.
Like the door opens
with
and we
wet
hear.
With a cock? Ooh, I don't like that at all. Tuberculosis kid coming in.
Mm-hmm. Was it Ellis Island?
It was a German family.
Yeah.
And They had two small children.
I'm sorry, he's got dirt cold.
Shut up.
The youngest one coughing the entire night. And about every hour and a half, 2 hours, they'd wake up and just start speaking in normal volume German to each other.
Liechtenstein! Hello?
And it was hell.
Why would they yell Liechtenstein?
That's the only thing that came to mind. It seems like it goes along with the train station.
So Jillian wanted to murder this family. She hated them. And I woke
she
up.
She had her chance. So here's the real clincher.
You know, getting woken up by strangers in a weird place, it just sucks.
Were you at there around Oktoberfest time? Or had that happened by the time you got there?
Doesn't that happen in September, oddly?
But, I don't know.
I was there in October, Tyler. Yeah, there's no Oktoberfest going on. So
Novemberfest is a dud.
The same train dude that hooked us up the night before, he comes in at like 7 a.m. and he goes,
"Rise and shine."
Yeah, pretty much. And he's like, "The train is going to be at the end of the line in an hour. You're going to be in Venice. I'm bringing in your breakfast right now." I'm like, "Oh, God, this is horrible." So he brings the breakfast. The whole family's awake now. No one's making any eye contact. They're all talking to each other. And it's in German. And I can tell they're talking about us. And Jillian's pretending to be asleep, but she just doesn't want any part of anything. And I can't blame her. Yeah. And then he brings the strangest breakfast to all of us that I had ever seen. It was two round buns and coffee. That's it. Like bread, little mini bread loaves.
That's nice. That's good.
No, but they're like hard and stale and it was weird. And then he tells
me, "You're traveling in 1910.
So then he brings back the breakfast and I'm like, "All right, I'm going to have my little hovel in my little bed. I'm going to, you know, try and..."
Maybe you accidentally took the Escape from the Nazis tour. See what it was like to what your grandparents went through.
So Jillian's over there pretending to be asleep and then he says, he comes back and he says, "All right, why don't you guys put your beds down and you can all sit, all of you can sit and have breakfast.
And like have uncomfortable
stuff. Us and the family." So now I got to get Jillian up or at least out of her pretend state of sleeping. And we got to like put the beds down.
Maybe that's why they're cranky because like everyone knows that you're supposed to get up and fold those beds so that everyone can enjoy the morning.
Everyone was cranky. Everyone was weird. And Jillian hated the family. And then we all sat there in silence and
eating
kind of like
stale
ate
buns.
Our stale buns. And then thank God
did they
ended.
Seem to be enjoying them?
Did you say hello?
Yeah, I was like talking to, like, helped a little girl. She dropped something and I gave it to her.
What was it?
And I was delighted to see that she was covering her mouth every time she coughed. I was picturing a child just like putting her chest out.
With her, and her like, hair is like all sweaty and like plastered to her face.
It's that scene from like that Dustin Hoffman movie where you see the germs just fly through the air right into your eyes.
What was it? Outbreak.
Yeah.
Who's winning the cigar race?
I don't know, but I'm very lightheaded from that cigar. Are you?
Mike's done, so.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Come on, Mikey.
I won.
Cigar's making me hungry.
This is a good cigar, though, right?
Yeah. I think so.
I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm not fishing for thanks. I'm just saying, I think if all cigars were like this, I'd be a cigar smoker.
I don't like it.
Even Steven. I like the negative twist. That's my new positive twist, is I put a negative twist on fun things.
You guys have any ideas for the next destination disaster?
I think we need to take a train.
I've got a ton of ideas. I think the train idea is fan-friggin-tastic. We'll take a train to Santa Barbara.
It'll cost like $300 a person, probably. So expensive.
It is really expensive.
Trains are not cheap.
Ridiculous.
They're cheap in Europe. Me and Lauren took a bullet train going 300 miles an hour from Rome to Florence. We got there in like an hour and a half, and it was like $40.
Yeah, not
so tight.
Vienna to
and
Venice.
We had Lamborghini seats. Ferrari.
Really?
The train's made by Ferrari.
Aren't they uncomfortable seats?
No, we had like all the space in the world. It was like all leather trim. It was fantastic.
That's pretty good. $40.
Our sleeper hell night was $230 per person. Yeah, $230 per person, Tai. Comes with free breakfast, though.
I think once we let Amtrak know the AD's coming on board, they'll probably throw us a free bone.
Yeah, probably.
No, nowhere to smoke.
I find that
they don't
weird
have a smoker
in Europe.
Train.
I thought there would be a
smoker
car.
Train
and it would be packed.
Yeah, and I thought they'd have a bar on the sleeper train.
Gotta have
the sleeper train had nothing. Oh, I hate that sleeper train. Do not sleeper train it, guys.
Well, my brother and his wife take a sleeper train to Seattle every year with the kids, and they get a room.
They're just hoping to get murdered.
They get a room, and they said, and I looked at it, and it wasn't big, but it was comfortable, and you were away
and
from all the strangers.
At least you know yourself. Almost made me want to have kids, so the next time we do this,
I could.
I guess I could have just bought them all anyways, yeah.
Don't forget Mike Jr. to keep coughing.
Mm. Mike Jr.
Everything could pass.
Wait, why would his kid be Mike Jr.?
I'm talking about after you adopt me. Mm-hmm. When things fall apart and I need one of you guys to adopt me.
If he adopts you, you become Mike Jr.?
I become Mike. The kid becomes Mike Jr.
All right, so racism.
I'll babysit.
After we got off the phone last week.
Yeah.
Finally, now it's the AD.
Both of us. all of us, I think, kind of realized that Italy is probably the most racist place on the planet.
You had firsthand evidence of it. Tyler does as well. But, yeah, I think we sort of concluded that based on what you were saying and what Tyler was saying.
What was I saying?
You're talking about the cab driver.
Yeah.
Who hated Milan.
Yeah. He hated Italians, so that was the opposite. But Italy had, like, we were all over Venice, and it was the same 8 black dudes over and over again. The only black dudes we saw, every single one of them was panhandling.
Mm.
Was what?
Panhandling. Like, they're not doing any favors for the stereotypes down there at all.
The stereotype of black guys in Europe is not panhandlers.
Yeah, well, they're
jazz musicians and cool people.
No, all the ones I saw in the majority.
All the ones, Tyler?
The majority were like West African guys, like selling like sunglasses and beads and stuff.
Yeah, okay, yeah. There were some guys that were selling like bags and stuff.
And Indians selling selfie sticks.
There was two types of beggars in Venice, and it was old women with really fucked up feet.
Yep.
And holding women, and they always had pictures.
Help me fix up my feet.
Always had pictures of Mother Mary and Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in their little bag, you're supposed to throw money onto Jesus' face, I guess.
Mm-hmm. If they land on his eyes, you win a giant banana with dreadlocks.
Like a carnival man. One of the women, she had a hoof. It was so disturbing. So she's begging. They're begging money, right? And then
I gotta say, I'd throw the hoof woman a bone.
Like these cool black guys. Like one guy, his beard was actually trimmed with lines in it. Like he always goes to the barber, and
that's
I was like,
tight.
And he was just. We watched him for about an hour from our restaurant, just bothering everyone. I was thinking, what a depressing existence that is. Like just all day. You just see people avoiding you.
In I don't know if it was Florence or Rome, but me and Lauren saw probably 3 different street magicians. They're all like Indian or Pakistani or something like that. But it was clear like that they'd all like bought the same set,
magic kit.
Because they all did the exact same tricks in the exact same
order.
In the exact same order. It was so weird.
But I was a little bit annoyed to see like able-bodied, well, young-looking, good-looking black dudes like just going, hey, give me some money. It's like, what are you guys doing? Stop it. You're not doing
any favors.
I don't
know. Maybe they're trying to travel across Europe for nothing.
Maybe. They're trying to save up for a sleeper train experience. All right. I don't want to talk any more about Europe.
Why not?
Except for this part.
Except for what?
All right. Going back to the beginning.
Yeah.
All right. Paris.
Yeah.
Shit town.
You're the only person on the planet Earth that refers
Shit-town.
To Paris. Shit town. Ah, shit town.
Paris is exceptionally overrated.
The city of gay Paris, the city of lights, or as most people know it, shit town.
Hey, did we ever thank Sergeant McAllister for betting for us?
We don't thank him. He didn't win.
Yeah.
We lost, but he lost more money on us, and I feel bad. But thank you, McAllister. I appreciate that. And Bald Brian sent us an email.
Yeah, that was a weird
telling
email.
Telling us that we should bet
he
on all
like
of his
4
teams.
Paragraph detailed.
All of his teams, too.
The odds on this, on this.
Should
like,
gamble on my Niners and my San Francisco Giants and the Warriors.
How about you bet on them, Brian?
It was nice.
I have a question for you guys. Mm. I don't know if either one of you will know the answer. Tyler might. Is your wife's favorite food? No. I had to stop at the UPS store this morning, and there were. A very large man came in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how you can kind of tell from somebody the way they carry themselves that they're...
important?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how I walk.
And he came in and he goes, hey, do you have any boxes? I want to ship some clothes. And then I decided, time for me to jump into the conversation. And I was like, are you traveling and shipping clothes? And he goes, I just need to ship a bunch of my clothes back to Texas. And I went, because when I travel, I just FedEx my clothes so I don't have to carry it on the plane. He goes, that's what I'm doing too. And then he said he's going back to Texas. Yeah.
Wait,
yeah. It's $50 to check a second bag, and it's like $30 to FedEx a very large box.
Wait a minute. This is a genius.
Yeah, and you get it in 2 days.
People used to do this that Havasupai campground that's down at the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah,
that's like the
I
prettiest
was supposed
place
to go
in the
there.
World.
I even put $250 when I was really poor down for the down deposit with a group, and then last minute I couldn't go because my aunt died.
Tight.
That's
a lot, Ant.
Really sad.
It's the last place in the States that still uses the Pony Express.
Yes.
People used to send down like their food and like their camping supplies and just like, load up the mules with all their supplies and then just go pick it. So they just had like have a nice hike down
like
to the thing.
I like it.
And then they put an end to that because it was ridiculous.
Wait, if you had to like send over, let's say like a 60-pound bag, that would cost more than $50.
Yeah. But it also costs more than $50 on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Because I checked three things coming back from a trip years ago, like 3 or 4 years ago. And they were heavy camera bags and stuff. And the first one was 50, the second one was 100, the third one was 150.
Yeah. Well, that's,
and I had to put it on my Amex.
Yeah.
I was like, this is ridiculous. So this dude's in there. I'm shooting the shit with him. And I just got a sense he's successful, partially because he pulled up like in a Range Rover. And
he's sending his clothes around town.
And he paid with a gold
bar.
He's
a very, very large black guy.
Took him a while to get to the black part.
That's nice, Mike.
And he's wearing a Dallas Cowboys shirt, a Dallas Cowboys hat, and he's got Dallas Cowboys tattoo up and down his arms, both of his arms. And then I thought, he must be on the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
And then I thought, isn't football season happening right now?
Yes.
So he's probably not, right?
Maybe he used to be. Is he an older
plus,
gentleman?
That'd be a big...
I don't know.
Like, you hope you don't get traded because you just get your arm covered in Dallas Cowboys
tattoos.
Yeah, I
would get, he's just a big fan. A big fan.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't think you'd wear all your gear.
You're right, because I thought about that afterwards.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't.
But
I
is this the thing that I might know the answer to?
He definitely looked like a football player.
You didn't get
sure.
to the bottom of it.
I did not get to the bottom of it. It occurred to me as I was walking out, he had a giant tattoo that said Dallas on one arm and then Cowboys on the other arm, or something like that, and then he had the star. And I thought, someone wouldn't just do that for the Dallas Cowboys. And then it immediately occurred to me, of course they would.
Yeah, I have
of course they would.
I have a Penguin logo tattooed on my body.
Do you really?
Yeah.
On his shoulder.
On his shoulder.
Oh yeah.
Why did I say on his shoulder?
The way you said it was like it was somewhere secret.
No. Bobcat has a Chinese symbol on his ass.
Yes, he does. He's got a bunch of tattoos. He's got Ed Wood. He's got guns on his arms.
Oh, Bobcat. When are we going to have Bobcat on?
Five minutes. Come on in, Bobcat.
All right, beginning of your trip. You're taking us back to the beginning.
Shit-town.
Let me talk positive. Positive real
you
quick.
You arrived in Shit-town.
Let's talk positive real quick. All right. Two places you got to go if you're going over to Europe. Three places. Three places are great. Well, Prague is fan-fucking-tastic, but it's a bitch to get to if you're going to, like, Western Europe. Prague is off the map, but your dollar goes a far way. And it's beautiful, and it's fantastic, and the Prague Castle is something to behold.
But it's off the. You already said it's off the map.
It's off the beaten path.
Yeah, you can't find it.
It's kind of a bitch to get to.
Okay.
If you're like. But also... I talked about it last week, Dubrovnik. Fantastic.
Are they very progressive there?
It's where Rush got their start.
Dubrovnik's amazing. It's where they shoot.
The prog rock scene there is incredible.
Did I tell you last week that we took the Game of Thrones tour?
Yes.
And that she said, look up there. Don't look up there if you don't want to know what happens in season 7 or whatever, because there's a prop still up there.
What happens?
And there's a flag flying in the
wind.
Tell
me what happens.
I don't want to tell you.
Tell me.
I'm not going to tell you.
Tell me.
Did you look?
Jillian and I immediately looked, yes. And now we both know because we pieced it all together.
Tell me.
I'll tell you after the show. But it lets you know who owns King's Landing at that point in the season, two seasons from now.
Is that whole town like, fuck, spoilers?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's a good spoiler.
Yeah.
Who owns it?
How weird though, like normally to like avoid spoilers you don't look on the internet. They have to like don't look out the east window.
Don't go out your house. But it's a great little town with all these little side streets and hills, and it's all surrounded by this big wall from back in the day that they used to keep the enemies out. And apparently there's a pub somewhere in that.
Wait,
it's this
I love
tiny
this,
little town.
I love this fake spoiler idea. Like years ago they should have had a tour in New York where they had actors dressed up that looked like George Costanza. Like everyone
there's
but
no
Seinfeld,
spoilers.
Seinfeld
spoilers.
And they're carrying a casket down the street.
That'd be
they're
good.
Shooting Seinfeld.
That'd
don't look
good.
Over there if you don't want a spoiler. Yeah. And everyone's there but Jerry. And you're like, oh shit, Jerry's
that's
dead.
That's why they close sets a lot. But apparently there's like a bar in.
Well,
that
that's
I didn't
not
see.
The only, the real reason is they don't want you in there bugging them while they're trying to work.
You can cover all of Dubrovnik by foot in like maybe 2 hours. It's that small. It's great.
Does it have lots of cool little alleys?
Yeah.
I love my favorite thing about Rome and Florence. The alleys are like they're
same
the
with Turkey.
Best.
Turkey was great. Oh, did I tell you guys that I so they tell you to barter like when we're on the ship and they're like, all right, tomorrow's Turkey. Like, and they give you literature of what's coming up for the next day. It's a lot like camp. And it's like, tomorrow we're going to be in Turkey, and here's what you do, and here's what you don't do, and this and that. And then they give you some words for, like, what some of the languages. And they were all encouraging you. I think they might have even had a class on how to barter, because that's, like, one of the things you do in Turkey is you barter with the street merchants. And I suck at bartering really badly.
I'm the worst.
Like, I tried a couple times, and the guy just, like, totally stood firm.
Okay, I'm sorry to be the topper here, but I'm the worst.
No, no.
Because I've bartered up when ended up paying
listen,
more.
Listen,
I swear.
All right, how did that work?
I don't remember the situation, but I remember going back and forth with the guy and ended up paying more.
We're on our way back to the ship, and Jillian found this little hotel. She saw like a sandwich sign on the street.
I know what it was. What? I bought a car. I don't want to say because it makes me look like an idiot.
and you offered more money.
I came in and made
an offer.
Don't destroy
the illusion that you're a genius.
Made an offer that was 1,000 more than their price on the internet was for the same car.
Why would you do that?
Because I'm an idiot.
The guy's like, all right, fine.
I saw it on the internet. That's why I went there. It was the Acura. And I went in and I went, and it was like 23.5 on the internet. It was that used Acura I bought. And I went, I'll give you 24,000 cash for it.
Cash.
Yeah.
You could have probably got it for 21.
Yeah. It was fucking idiotic. It had, the price on it was like 26 something. Was the guy
looking for cameras for a prank show?
I was just an idiot.
So they do this horrible thing where they say yes please. Like when you're walking by, and they're pretty obnoxious, especially the parts of Turkey.
Sounds horrible.
Like when you're walking by, yes please, come into my store, yes please. No. Yeah.
Where in Turkey were you? Istanbul?
Sandwich.
We were right outside of Ephesus.
Were you scared that you were going to get Midnight Expressed?
What was the name of the little city? Something with a K.
Gobbleville?
No, not Gobbleville.
Cockatown?
No. Kasartsi, which means Bird Island, but there's not many birds there, and it's not an island. We were explaining that to us.
I see.
So,
isn't Turkey a scary place to be right now?
Parts of it, but not by Ephesus, because it's like heavily traveled by tourists, because Ephesus is like one of the oldest known civilizations.
Known.
So, we're on our way back to the ship, and we wanted to grab like a drink or something, and Jillian finds this little sandwich sign, and it says rooftop dining. So we go up there, and it's like at the top of this little shack hotel, and it's like on the fifth story, and it's beautiful, and we can see all of the bay, and it's great. And everything's dirt cheap, because there's a lot of poverty over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it says Omar's Place, and there's a big grill and a bar, and this guy, I'm like, are you Omar? And we're the only ones up there. He's like, yes, and he was so fucking nice. The few people that we did sit down and talk to in Turkey were so goddamn nice. You always hear people say, oh, you love the people. You got to go to these different places and the people. And with Turkey, that was the case. They were fucking great in Turkey. And so we're talking to Omar, and he couldn't be nicer. Mm-hmm. And I have two large beers.
I'd like a big sound system that universally goes across the country, and every morning it's like, don't forget, be nice. Tourists. We'll be here in 30 minutes.
Oh, like they're all putting on a show?
Everybody be nice.
Places.
That's what they do in North Korea. So, and Jillian had a glass of wine, which she didn't drink, so I just drink it. So, the wind is really picking up. A box just flew off of a pedestal and hit the ground behind Mike, and he got very scared.
Foley budget is just really popping this week.
So, it's like, I'm like, all I have is American cash. I said, I have a 20. I said, what would that be? Because they also don't use many euros over there. They use their own.
Dinar? Mm-hmm. Denarii? Something like that?
I don't remember what it is.
God shekels?
Damn. Not shekels. And Omar is like, he gets out the calculator. They get the calculator out all the time, right? And I'm like, you know what, Omar? Keep the 20. Go ahead.
And he's like,
but
your
50.
Bill is 40.
No, it was way less because everything's super cheap. It was three drinks. It was probably like $9.
Wow. If that.
So he's like, oh, thank you so much. And he like does this like song. He's like singing. And then we go to the elevator, and we're on the elevator. The door's
like
closed.
All drinks, $1.
And we're going down, and we can still hear him like doing this happy song. It was so nice.
It's a song that lets all the merchants around know like there's a dumb American who's way overpaying for everything.
But it wasn't the only time. I
he was
bought
like,
a few things.
The guy with the snake tattoo. You can take all his money.
I bought a few things in Turkey, and I was like, keep the change. And like instead of bartering down, I was giving him a little extra, and it was nice. It was a great feeling. And it was super cheap anyways. So we sat down with these two Turks who were like huge action movie fans in this little bar that was like an old shelled out like castle. It was awesome. And they're like, any movie you want, tell me. And they're like BitTorrenting, and they're putting it up on the bar. We're the only ones in there. It was great. He comes over. He bums a cigarette off us, sits down at our table.
Did they have Destination Disaster number one?
So that was fun. So the last place that I'm going to talk about that really people should check out is Santorini. I talked about it a little bit. But it's that crazy place in the middle of it's in the Mediterranean Sea. It's Greece. It's little islands right off of Greece, and you're in the ocean. And then all of a sudden, you see these edifices, like these giant islands that go straight up. They just go straight up, 1,000 feet in the air, and there's very little at the bottom where the port is. Like maybe a couple cafes, a couple souvenir places. Everything, the entire there's five villages, and they kept growing. So now they're all like melded into one. All on top of this 1,000-foot
high. Can you fall off of it?
There are plenty of places where you can fall off of it.
If you try
and
hard enough.
There's three ways to get up. Three ways.
Balloon?
One, you walk. And that was the way that everyone got up until 1982. You walk and it's crisscrosses, and it takes you about 45 minutes, maybe an hour, to walk all the way up. And the other way,
then you remember you forgot your keys.
Is mules. They have probably 100 mules and dudes, you know, different companies. Like, this guy has 10 mules, this guy has 8 mules. And I didn't like the look of that at all.
No.
I felt bad for them.
Yeah, I feel bad for them too.
And it looked a little scary.
They got to walk back down alone.
And some rich Santorini family donated a cable car system in 1982, and they have 6 cars that go up and 6 cars that go down. And they have a line that takes about an hour to wait. And then you get on the
It's a tough one. I would put my baggage on the cars and walk up.
No, you leave your bags on the ship.
Oh, yeah.
But we definitely need to go back to Santorini. Santorini is like a place you'll never see again. It was so fucking unique. And they say, because we took the tour where we had to hike up to the top of a mountain with a volcano, because there was like 5 separate little islands. It looks like Hawaii. It really does.
Yeah.
And they say that, there's a very good chance that this is Atlantis, and they're actually still uncovering stuff. They found stuff from like 1500 BC where they had warm and hot water. They had this whole civilization. They're still learning. There's a lot of scholars who believe this, that they are going to prove that this is the lost city of Atlantis there. And they also say that the volcano is going to...
Wait, you mean it's underneath that stuff, or that's it?
The last time the volcano went off, I think, is like 3,500 years ago. They can prove that. And it broke up like this one island into like 5 different islands. I might be getting some of this wrong, but, and they know that island is going to ultimately...
Might be. The after disaster guarantee is that we're getting this wrong.
That same volcano, which is active, one of the most violent active volcanoes in the world, is going to wipe out that entire area sometime in the not too distant future. So it's kind of weird, and it was probably the most stunning, beautiful place we were at the entire time on our entire trip, and it's kind of sad and strange to know that it's all going to be wiped out eventually, soon. And then the lady on the tour guide, when we went on the little... dead island that actually is still the volcano. She said, and if you're hoping to see lava today, you're not going to. And if you do, it's too late. We're all going to be dead.
Tight.
This is a horrifying place to visit.
Santorini. Oh, I'm telling you.
Just FYI, we might all die in a lava flow.
And on your left, don't look over there if you're watching Game of Thrones.
This might be Atlantis. Don't look over there if you're watching Game of Thrones.
I know.
And then finally, Gruyere's. You got to go there and go to the Giger Museum. All right. Paris is not a place that you have to go.
Shit,
so we're weary travelers, right? And we get in, we're finally in Europe, and Jillian and I are having our biggest misunderstanding debate of the entire trip at this point, when we're checking into the Adagio Hotel. They call it an apart hotel, as in like half apartment, half hotel. Fuck you, Adagio, you're terrible.
Okay.
Horrible hotel, really overpriced. We're staying in the Chinese town part of Paris, which I didn't know exist. We're in like Koreatown, Paris. And they check us in. They give us one key, which is always not a good sign. Why do you give me one key card? These things are free. You know there's 2 of us. What do you give me one key for? And then she tells me this, the lady as she's checking us in. Oh, and you need that key to put it in the slot when you first check, when you go into your room, and that makes the electricity go on. There's no electricity in the little room unless you have that key in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's like how like a lot of places in like Palm Springs for like the air conditioning, you have to like have your key so that they don't just air condition nonstop and run their bills up.
You're defending the Adagio?
No.
Mm-hmm. So we
stand united against the Adagio.
Jillian's super tired and not very happy with me. We're having a disagreement.
Because you have the key.
We're having a disagreement. And
about?
I don't even remember. It had something to do with my attitude at the airport.
Didn't you shit down Paris, maybe?
So I'm all excited because I'm finally in Europe. Jillian's been to Paris like at least once, maybe twice. So she's over it and she's tired. She wants to go to sleep. So I'm like, all right, I'm leaving. Goodbye.
With the key.
I wasn't even thinking. I just grabbed the key. You know, and it's daytime. We got the blinds open. So I go into town. I have a couple beers here and there. Wandering and see the Eiffel Tower. I'm Instagramming shit. Have the time of my life. Start getting texts from poor Jillian. It's now dark. And she's like, I can't see anything in this goddamn apartment. I'm like 30 minutes away by foot. She goes, I can't even get to the bathroom. And I thought she was exaggerating a little bit. Guys, this exact same thing happened to me because then I got back, put the key in. Oh, and my luggage was locked up too. And I had a bunch of her stuff in there. So she was like paralyzed in this room.
Her phone has a flashlight, doesn't it?
But like my bag was locked and it has like a code on it. So it was just a nightmare for her. I go back. I'm a little drunk now. I go to sleep. She leaves in a tiffy. Oh, the worst comment that I made. I really hope she doesn't listen to this. She almost became violent with me when this one happened, guys. All right, so part of my journey in Paris by myself when I first got there, I was like running on adrenaline, was that horrible movie Irreversible, right? Okay. Shot in Paris. And honestly, I think that's one of the reasons why I don't like Paris, because I feel like I'm in that movie Irreversible, which I love that movie, but it's disgusting. And there's that horrible, infamous rape scene, right?
I didn't see it.
Monica Bellucci gets raped in this underground tunnel. And I'm desperately searching for this tunnel
because
I want to take a picture. I've since learned.
Where's the tunnel of the rape? Rape tunnel.
The rape. We rape everywhere here.
A listener actually sent me the exact location, and he made me work for it because he's like, I really like the idea of you trying to talk to people in the Rue District and explain to them that you're looking for the rape tunnel. So I learned that the rape tunnel has been boarded up and disassembled and filled in with concrete.
Just because of that movie?
I don't know if it's because of that movie. I couldn't get a straight answer on that. But
at least we ticked off racism and rape in this episode.
I was looking hard for that tunnel, right? That was like the main focus was getting a baguette.
That's why people go to Paris.
Drink some wine, see the Eiffel Tower, and find the rape tunnel, right? And that's me by myself wandering around. So I get back.
It's
and
a
Jillian,
very, very different midnight in Paris.
And I are arguing. And she's threatening to leave with actually all the... I shouldn't be saying this much. But, you know, we're not seeing eye to eye on things. And she goes, all right, well, I'm going out. And I said, I don't think that's a good idea. And she goes, well, I'm leaving. And it's dark now. And we're in a little bit of a dicey part of Paris. And I say, all right, well, good luck finding the irreversible rape tunnel. Because it was top of mind. And she took it as me saying, go ahead, get raped. Which I wasn't. And she became enraged. And it took like a good 12 hours to get past that one. Yeah.
City of lovers, baby.
It's coming together. Why you hate Paris so much.
So I wake up after like 2 hours and I'm a little bit hungover. My head hurts. I'm jet lagged. And I got to pee bad, right? So I get up in this apart hotel, which is like a really, it's like a Motel 6 room that has a stove.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's awful. And I'm stumbling about. She has the key now. So
What'd that place run you?
Pitch black. $220 a night.
Fuck.
The most expensive place we stayed the entire time.
And besides the train.
Because of fucking Paris. They're both the same.
$230 a person.
Yeah, it was. So. You're right. Yes, fuck. You're right. The goddamn train. So I'm stumbling around. And guys, I couldn't find the toilet in this bathroom. I kept hitting something that was hard and cold and it felt sharp. And when I finally did get lights on and saw it was
a suit of armor.
They had like a half glass wall in there that separated like the sink from the toilet. Like it was like booby trapped. And it was I could not see my hand in front of my face. Like that shit does not fly in the US. I mean lawyers are all over that.
A flashlight on your phone?
I couldn't find my phone. It was that dark, Tyler. I couldn't find it. It was pitch. So then they gave me two keys and everything worked out. So Paris is beautiful.
So what was the spoiler alert?
Dude, I'll tell you when the show's over.
I don't want to know it. I want to see it in the episode and then text you and be like...
Apparently, there's no King's Landing next season. They didn't shoot anything.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. I mean, you can come back to it, but next season... They didn't shoot anything this season for next season. I don't know. Could be wrong on that. Adagio, don't go. Don't do it.
All right, it's off my list.
Yeah. It looked good. It came recommended. Highly recommended. Horrible. No smoke in the entire hotel, yet every floor smelled like hot smoke. Ew, it was gross.
Hot smoke.
Hot smoke.
All right. I'm done with Europe. No more. It's out of my system. I'm done. Back to America.
You made it sound really terrible in that first text that you sent us.
Oh, how?
You were like, a lot of things. There's some good things, but I hate a lot of things.
All right. I guess there's more Europe.
I got a split in a few minutes. I'm sorry to tell you that, but... I have to go to work, and then I have another podcast to do.
The most depressing part for me, and maybe I'm naive, but it was just that so many of these things, like we'll just say the Eiffel Tower, there's just nothing other than when I got up super early before I left. I was up at like 5 a.m. and I went down there.
Yeah.
So I was still like jet lagged. And it was me and one couple at the Eiffel Tower, and that was cool. I was like, I felt like I was seeing it in its natural environment. Otherwise, it's just completely and totally overrun by other people with phones and pictures, and it's just a tourist trap. You know what I mean?
What's the deal? Was that like a gift that we gave them?
No. They created it for the World's Fair.
Oh.
And then we countered it 4 years later, I think it was, in Chicago they really wanted to outdo the Eiffel Tower, and they got some guy from Pittsburgh to... create something that was supposed to be as impressive as the Eiffel Tower, and it was just a giant Ferris wheel.
Yeah, a giant Ferris wheel that was killing people.
It ended up killing some people.
That's the American way, baby.
And now the biggest Ferris wheel in the world is in London. But like the old square in Prague is fantastic, but it's just like a really busy part of Disneyland. I mean, no one that actually lives there, other than the restaurant tours and whatnot.
Yeah, you got to go out. I was just on Reddit the other day, and someone was talking about Prague and how great it is. But they're like, but you got to like avoid the city center. They're like, all around it is like fantastic.
Yeah. So my good friend actually lives in Prague
this whole thing is a lot like Disneyland.
International friends.
So my buddy Howie Locker and I and Jillian, he took us out on the town one night, and he took us on the train to get to the better part of town. We met him at a little restaurant, and then he showed us some shit. And we went up to the Prague Castle, and it was cool. It took 1,000 years to build the Prague Castle.
Jesus.
Like religious wars kept breaking out, and they're like, all right, we can't work on the castle for about 100 years, and then they come back to it.
So it's like the MTA.
Did you feel dissatisfied that it takes 1,000 years to build a castle, and you went there and went, okay, I want to get back to...
No. But the castle was very intense.
Sometimes I feel like I don't appreciate stuff like that.
Sometimes.
And maybe it's not meant to be appreciated.
No, I think it is. I think that's why they create these things.
Hmm. Mm. Like, I think... I haven't seen the Grand Canyon, but I suspect when I'm standing on the rim of the Grand Canyon looking out over its grandeur and its beauty, I'm going to be like, all right... I'm bored.
I don't think so.
No, it's pretty tight.
I think I know you well enough to... How have you not... You pass it like 3 times a year.
I keep my eyes straight ahead.
I guess we have to go to the Grand Canyon.
Wait a minute. You always pass
I've never seen the Grand Canyon.
But you...
Never pass it.
You took a picture. I remember seeing a picture of like a tower that is right on the precipice of the Grand Canyon.
No, I see stuff driving to and from Tucson, but it's nowhere
He's
near
probably
the,
seen
Grand
the Grand
Canyon.
Canyon. He doesn't even know
what
it
I've
is.
Never seen
I've
the
seen
Grand
a big
Canyon.
Hole out there, but never the Grand Canyon.
I rafted once through it, but
I rafted through this
I closed
canyon.
My eyes the entire time.
I told you about the first time I saw, the only time I ever saw the Grand Canyon, like what happened to me, right? And I was not prepared for it at all. I had no idea. I got heavy vertigo.
Oh.
And like was terrified that I was going to fall in.
One of my most traumatizing childhood events was my dad pretending to throw me into the Grand Canyon.
Really?
I like still won't forgive him for it, yeah.
Like there's joggers.
Did he pretend or did he fail? Like he
How
threw
did he do
me.
That? Did he come out behind you and like hold your shirt?
We crawled forward to look like over the edge and he like shook my back like while
I wouldn't even do that.
Over.
Like I was kept telling Jillian
that's,
to sit down.
It was
back off.
Terrifying.
Yeah, that's I don't
and
like
he
that.
He doesn't do that kind of stuff. Like
no,
now,
Mike,
like,
you gotta. And I think the older in life you are, the more impressive it is because like your brain has just never seen anything like
I
that.
I just
before.
Stand there and think erosion.
Well,
oh, and then also I got an ice cream cone and the ice cream fell out onto the sidewalk.
And it rolled down the Grand Canyon.
Back
by the
in like
time.
A 30-minute line to get another ice cream, so he made it up.
Oh, it was for him. Oh, he went back in line.
Yeah.
But like you're. It just doesn't make sense, that open space. Like, you've never seen anything. It's like an ocean that's just been emptied. It doesn't make any sense. And people are just jogging by, and I'm thinking, like, if you trip, dude, you're dead. You're gonna, like, if you stumble to the left, dead.
Next time my friend Leo's in town, we need to try to figure out how we can get on the show because he has a story about the Grand Canyon that is one of the greatest, like, miscommunication, like, traveling with your family type stories at the Grand Canyon. That
All right.
Anyone die?
No one died, but people probably would have rather have died.
All right, we gotta book that then, I guess. Hey, why don't we go to the Grand Canyon for the next destination disaster?
No,
we walk to the bottom and then walk out.
I'm in.
Can you walk to the bottom?
When do you want
to
do
it?
We
can go on that scary skywalk that goes over it.
No, that costs like $90.
Yeah, that's,
and the Indians hate it.
And you can't
or
bring cameras and you can't do anything.
Yeah, fuck that
thing.
Can't bring cameras.
Nope. Yeah, I did bitch about the gondoliers.
Oh, did you do it? Because we were telling you not to do it.
I think you misunderstood it. It was $80 for up to 6 people, but you know we're not going to like find strangers and say, hey, you guys want to split a gondola? And it's not like they're taking you. We thought that Venice was going, and back in the day, I guess it was, where like you just like hail a fucking boat and then they take you like down to where you need to go. No, you got to walk all over that fucking town. And it's not small. I mean, you can walk all the way across it in probably about an hour, but you know, Jillian not having it. She hates exertion. And these boats, it's just a tourist trap.
This is definitely the episode she shouldn't listen to.
So we're...
She hates exertion.
She owns that. She loves
that. Yeah, she would readily admit that.
We're it's our last night there, and we really want to just take a little boat ride. Jillian decided she hates Venice now because somebody stole her comfy sweater pretty much right off of her purse. Like, she got pickpocketed. We were walking down. She had it, like, hanging off her purse, and then she turned around. She, like, 5 minutes after she put it on there, gone. Like, somebody came up.
It couldn't have just fallen off?
No, because we open road behind us, and just, somebody took it. So she's like, I hate this fucking town, and it's a racket with the goddamn gondoliers, which it is. So we're trying to find like a water taxi that would take us up the Grand Canal, which is like right through the middle of Venice. And he's like, yeah, $120.
Jesus.
For 40 minutes. And I'm going to do it, right? I'm about to do it. I'm like, I don't want to leave this town and feel like, you know, regret.
Yeah.
You know? And then it occurred to me, two birds. I'm like, we got to go to the airport tomorrow. How much does it cost to take a water taxi all the way to the airport? He's like, $110. And we go through the Grand Canal. I'm like, two birds!
Nice.
Yeah. So
you took a gondola to the airport?
Not a gondola, like a water taxi, still. But it's like a little like boat. Yeah, it was just the two of us on.
That's
it was pretty
baller.
Sweet. Yeah,
that's
it was pretty
that's
great.
Good.
It was pretty. But he was not very friendly. I didn't really meet any friendly Italians. They were all kind of dicks. Maybe that's just the part of town I was
in. I think the friendly ones I met were kind of what you're saying about the guy in Turkey. Like when we ate at like little restaurants that were like family owned and like people would come out and talk to you and they're like so excited that
Jillian said Florence was great and everyone was really nice there. But maybe Venice is just so over fucking American tourists and all kinds of tourists. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
What's your meeting about today?
Electronic boards in front of the improv.
Are you fighting it?
Someone named Mike Schmarano keeps breaking them.
They put in like a remote system so that everyone has access.
Right. We're talking
and
about dick pics.
I have to go there
up.
To learn how to do it.
Do they have any kind of filter yet?
I don't think any. I don't know. I'll find out today.
One question we had for you came up right as for him that came up as we were walking up to the house today was about how much you were laughing on the episode.
What? Yeah.
People have remarked. They're like, I've never heard Anderson laugh so
maybe
much.
Taking mushrooms or anything?
No, I wasn't on any drugs.
Because you were laughing a lot.
Hey, I did buy drugs. I bought drugs in Prague.
Yeah.
I'll admit that. But they weren't the kind of drugs that make you laugh. And I had huge regret after I bought those drugs. And I did them
all. How'd you find drugs?
On the boat and was glad that those drugs were gone.
How'd you find drugs in a foreign country?
We learned a code.
A code?
Cookies. He asked for cookies.
What? Really?
Yeah. In Prague.
How'd you learn that?
Internet.
Who did you ask cookies? Who did you ask for cookies?
The first guy we asked cookies, it was an American-owned bar called Sky Bar in Prague. It's down, like you have to go down
and just
into
came
a
back
basement.
With some,
and it was
some Amos.
Sad.
You got any cookies?
And we asked the guy if he had any cookies, and he said no. And he was angry, and we were told that that's where you buy cookies, because I wanted cookies. And anyways, I shouldn't be saying any of this.
Why?
No, I was not on drugs on the show. I had a few drinks. I was drinking some of that horrible herbal on Campari. Liquor.
Yeah, that stuff is.
Campari.
And I think I just missed you guys, and it was good to hear you guys'
voices.
Yeah,
that's what I said it was.
Were,
he was convinced that you were.
You were saying really funny shit.
Thank you.
Once. I really liked your line about how the wine wasn't going to pour itself, and I liked all the imitation of the Italians. That was good stuff.
People were tweeting us, and I was tweeting in terrible Italian impressions, and people were tweeting back about the episode in terrible Italian.
No, if I was on drugs, guys, you would have known when I was in that square. I would have been approaching people and.
Did you ever find out what that square was called?
No.
Square.
We went back to it the next day, though. I showed Jillian. She was not impressed.
All right. Well.
But we had breakfast at a little place called Orange, and that's where we, Orange Cafe in that little square, and that's where we watched the black man with a very nicely manicured beard. I shouldn't say man, because he was like 19 years old, probably. Just approaching people.
That's a man.
Nons everywhere, asking for money, constantly. Came up to me, actually demanded that I shake his hand. Ugh, wish I hadn't.
Did you see any of the weird gypsies dressed in all white?
No.
That just stick their hands out, and if you shake their hand, they won't let go until you give them money.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like it's the Chinese finger trap.
You have to
thing?
Just ignore them. You just like stand like stone face, and then they'll eventually walk away from you.
All of a sudden, you're both
you
performance
do
artists.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like
you,
that.
And you just stood still until they left.
Me and Lauren were just like, and then he finally walked away. They come right up to you and they put their hand out.
I don't like you doing it.
I know.
I can imagine.
I know. Okay. And then like dumb tourists are like, hi, and then like.
Maybe that's what the dude was doing.
They won't let go.
Because he demanded, like, he held his hand in my face until
packages.
I finally shook his hand, and as I was shaking it, I'm like, nothing but credit. And then he immediately lost all interest in my existence.
Yeah, you could do.
Dropped a smile and just walked away. Like,
just carry.
He's like, oh, the fees are too high.
Carry some of those little packets of mustard with you and fill your palm with mustard.
Oh, yeah, that is one thing you could do.
Because I bet they'd let go then.
Or you could just not shake hands.
You could have a buzzer on your hand.
Or you could have a hot load of.
Michael. I'm opening someone else's mail right now, which is, it's not even fun. It's not even good. All right, here, these are both for you. They're typed from Seattle.
That's always worrisome when it's typed.
Here's one package to the after that. It's slim pickings this week, guys.
Yeah, people, if you need a reminder, the P.O. Box is P.O. Box 570058, Tarzana, California, 91357.
Tyler, I don't know if they need a reminder.
Yeah, just, you know.
It's on our website.
In case you want to send us things.
And the show will be wrapped in momentarily. This one I have to go back today and wait in line for. I don't know why they keep stuff
for Mike.
Behind.
Mike, Star Trek pillowcase.
Wow.
I wonder if it's the same person that sent me my Nicolas Cage pillowcase.
Thank you. This is a nice letter from somebody I sent a postcard to.
Oh.
And they're recommending a documentary called A Poem is a Naked Person.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Jackie.
There's no note about your...
That's very
your...
sweet.
Oh, wait. Oh, here it is. A gift from Rebecca. Couldn't resist. Hope you guys like. P.S. Please don't say my full name on air. I didn't say her full name. P.P.S. Make Tyler promise to keep doing the show after the baby's here. Love
what is her, what is her full name?
We just talked about that.
What baby? What is this?
It's a pillowcase. Is this all the same person, do you think? Because it's like from different companies and whatnot, in different packages. This one is a giant stash baggie of cannabis pillowcase.
Look at that picture.
It's horrifying.
It is horrifying.
Want to say what it is?
It's a dummy.
Okay, it says, Dear Mike, so this bullshit photo right here is A, scarier than old lady with bloody butcher knife, B, scarier than all the clowns of the world except for John Wayne Gacy. And it's Marbles, the puppet from Magic. Remember that movie, Magic?
Mm-hmm.
Staring into a baby bassinet with a little sleeping baby. And it is horrifying.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thanks, Jackie in Seattle.
Wait, who sent the weed bag?
And thanks, Rebecca. What's her last name?
No, don't say it. It literally says don't say her full name.
And the weed bag just came with this, which is just a receipt.
Well, both pillowcases, so I'm guessing it's also from Rebecca.
That weed bag's a good thing to carry your stuff into the police station with.
I think the weed bag's for you, Ty.
You
have
think
fun
so?
Explaining that to
so.
Your child.
Is there weed in it?
Look at that weed bag.
It's pretty tight. It's sour
sleeping
diesel.
On Kush, bro.
JLC would be all about this.
Sleeping on cookies. All right.
That's a lot of weed.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing your week with us.
Buongiorno.
Hey, thanks for making us part of your week.
Arrivederci.
Yeah, have a great week. Have a great weekend.
This is the worst show we've done in a while.
Don't Drink and Drive. No, it's a great show.
One of the worst shows we've done.
It's a good show.
One of the best. Probably the best.
Sorry I wasn't laughing as much, guys. Yeah. Maybe if you guys were a little funnier.
It's all right. It's all right.
All right.
Are you doing that negative thing
he's
talking about?
What's that?
Nothing.
We got to come up with a way to end the show. So like just something is said and bang, done. You know what I mean?
That's it. Done.
Yep.
Or yup.
You know what really kills me? Drew says mahalo when he's by himself on Loveline.
Drew does a lot of things that really
kill me. Why would you do that, Drew? Mahalo is not yours. Never has been. Don't say mahalo. Stop that, Drew.
Drew is Hawaiian.
It's not, no, it's not his or it's not the other guy's.
Yeah, well, who's the other guy?
Adam.
Yeah, why is it not his?
Because it's Hawaii. Everyone says that in Hawaii. It's theirs.
It's what's his fuck? What's the Hawaiian guy's name that says it all the time?
King Kamehameha?
Nope.
Don Ho?
Yes! He dead?
Gotta be.
Fuck.
Mahalo. God, I actually have a drop of Don Ho saying mahalo on my drop machine that I don't use anymore. December 6th.
Yeah.
Improv. You gonna be there Sunday night?
Sunday night?
Yes.
Probably.
No,
Emily I'm
Morse.
Not gonna be there, but I'll go if you wanna go.
Emily Morse is doing her 10-year anniversary show, which I am going to be a part of.
Okay, cool. Is it at the improv or in the lab?
Hollywood Improv, I believe. I believe it's the actual. Okay. Tickets are $15. You can find them on Emily's show.
Yeah, I'll go.
Com.
I'll definitely go.
Sexwithemily.com. And yeah, I guess that Menace, who is her other sidekick, and me are going to be there. I'm going to pick a fight with Menace. It's going to be fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Drew's going to horn in somehow. Good time.
All right.
Sex with Emily. All right, how do we end this?
Mahalo.
No, we don't. Good night.
Maloha.
Hey, happy Friday, everybody. Enjoy your weekend, and be safe.
Fucking hit stop, please.
Hitting stop.